Well, joining us now to go deeper into what the crew members were looking for and how they came to their conclusions, Jim Lee, meteorologist in charge of the National Weather Service Baltimore Washington field office. Jim, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, this feels like the most tornadoes that we have had in Maryland during one specific storm. As you were all tracking the storm and the storm calls on Wednesday, did you get any sense that it was going to be this bad?
We had a clue starting in the overnight hours on Tuesday night that some of the conditions would be conducive to tornadic development. Certainly, you know, you need two things to develop a tornado. You need to have instability in the atmosphere, and you also need wind shear. So those two things were coming together. So we started putting out messages in our hazardous weather outlook about 4 a.m. on Wednesday morning, saying, you know, essentially be on the lookout for the possibility of a few tornadoes that day.
Jim, I know that a lot of the focus was between Poolsville and Gaithersburg for the tornado that went on for miles, and you all have now actually extended the amount of space and the mileage that it actually covered. Tell us about that.
Yes, as often, you know, we work closely with our partners at the county and state level, Maryland Office of Homeland Security and the Maryland Department of Emergency Management, as well as our spotter network and public reports. And we get reports and we try to get out and do storm surveys as soon as we can. Very often, even at, you know, that same day or that same evening. But we went out, we had four teams go out to survey nine possible locations on Thursday, yesterday. So we had the information that we got in on Wednesday night and early on Thursday morning. But as, you know, the day continues and people start looking at, you know, damage in their area, they start sending it in, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and more reports started coming in. And sure enough, today we were doing additional analysis, and we did extend the path length of that Montgomery County storm 26 miles from Dickerson, Maryland, all the way to Ashton in eastern Montgomery County. So that was quite a long length. It wasn't complete damage along that entire path. Very often in our area, the tornadoes will kind of skip. It will drop, the funnel cloud will drop down, touch the ground, and officially that becomes a tornado. Then the tornado will pick up and might go another couple miles and drop down again. So that's typically what we see in our region. But certainly, you know, a 26-mile path of damage throughout central Montgomery County is quite an extraordinary event.
Historically, Maryland isn't known for that many confirmed tornadoes like you would see in the Midwest. So has something changed in our atmosphere to maybe cause this? Can we expect these types of storms to continue around here?
No, I think, you know, if you look at the statistics, you know, we average between 10 and 20 tornadoes a year in the region that we forecast for, which includes essentially all of Maryland, west of the Chesapeake Bay, and then down south of Charlottesville. We include southern Maryland and all the way out to the Appalachian front and the eastern panhandle of West Virginia. We get about 10 or 20 of them. The vast majority of our storms, though, our tornadoes are what we call EF0s or EF1s, which are determined to be minor tornadoes. And that's not to, you know, downplay any of the damage or potential injuries that might happen with an EF0 or EF1. But they are not, you know, the type of EF2 moderate to major tornadoes that you'll see out in the Midwest or Deep South.
Jim, and is that why we saw so much tree damage, because of the strength of these tornadoes? Is it when you get higher up the scale, is that when you start to see the homes getting lifted or parts of homes coming off?
Yes, it all depends upon where that funnel cloud touches down. And, you know, we're in a nice forested region for the most part, so most of the damage we see are, you know, in the woods and, you know, trees around housing developments, that type of thing. But should, you know, an EF1 or EF0 go through a house, you know, if it's an EF0, you might see minor damage. But if it's an EF1, you might see some siding off, shingles, that type of thing. There was an EF2 tornado that we did a survey on probably about 10 years ago down in Stafford County that demolished the whole second floor of a home. That was an EF2. So, yes, as you get up in intensity, it does do more damage to structures. If it just so happens that it, you know, it comes down, the aerial extent of damage of a tornado is very, very small. And, you know, if that funnel, though, you know, hits the right place, damage can occur. And that's why it's really important for people to be weather aware of what's coming at them and then have an action plan. Don't, you know, start thinking about it right away. Right now, people should be thinking, if you get a severe thunderstorm warning or a tornado warning, get into an interior home or interior room of a solid structure, whether it's a house, a building, you know, whatever. You need to get inside and get away from windows.
Jim, all fascinating and somewhat scary. Thanks so much for joining us today to explain what happened.